Welcome to Mind the Gap by Fresh Chat, a podcast where experts and hustlers share their stories on growth, marketing, and customer experience. I'm Abhishek, and I'm your host for the day.
When I became in charge of customer success at Sitecore, I had previously been in charge of sales, and in sales, your metric is new business. And I wanted to have an important metric, and I was excited to take on churn. So I owned our net retention. So net retention is churn, expansion, reactivation. And so for a while I thought, well, that's the right metric for customer success. It's figuring out how to drive retention. But what I've since realized is that actually owning that metric has done our company, in my opinion, more harm than good. Because what happened is then marketing and product said, oh, you know what? Churn is, customer success will figure that out. Let's focus on other stuff. And so every time I had a churn initiative that required collaboration with marketing or product, it was really hard to get those things prioritized because they were like, well, that's not my metric. You can figure that out on your own. So I've since shifted the perception at Sitecore that I'm no longer the owner of net retention, but rather the champion. So I still report on it. I still try to gather insights to improve it, but it's a metric that's owned by the whole organization.
That was David Apple breaking the status quo around customer success metrics. David is the General Manager US and VP of Customer Success at Typeform. David started his career at Typeform as the head of sales and then moved on to become the VP of Customer Success. This episode is a goldmine of insights for anybody in the business-facing role. At Typeform, everything is around customer centricity. The customer success division in the company is responsible for sales, account management, and prospecting functions. And to evoke your curiosity a little further, the sales team operates without any quotas or commissions.
When I was in sales, I never was the hard sales guy, the pushy sales guy. I didn't make false promises just to close a deal. I was always more the consultative salesperson looking for a win-win and also willing to walk away from a deal if it wasn't right for the customer. And when I joined Sitecore, I remember in my interview actually with our founders, I told them, and I joined to be in charge of sales at Sitecore. I told them, if you're looking for a pushy sales guy, I'm not your guy. I just don't want to do that. And I don't want that to be the expectation. And then when we learned about customer success and we decided that we wanted to invest heavily in customer success at Sitecore, a great opportunity because it felt like it would be a better fit for my personality and the way I like to engage with customers. And it also removes that barrier. I think when you're sales, people have, you know, they put a barrier up because they know you're commissioned and they know you're trying to sell them something, and therefore they don't trust you as much. And in customer success, it's the other way around. And I really like that about the customer success side. And in fact, at Sitecore, sales is part of the customer success team. So I'm still in charge of sales at Sitecore. But I decided not to commission the sales team at Sitecore to avoid that, I guess, negative incentive in the sales team. The way any other team in the company works, which is they have their goals. In the case of sales, obviously it's new business, but it's a team level goal. And each individual has their own goals that lead up to that. But ultimately, it's not really a quota in the same sense of many other traditional sales teams. Something that's really interesting as a side note to this about the sales team not having commissions is that the sales team is not trying to put itself in places where it's not feeling like it's adding value. So in a lot of cases, the sales team is directly compensated by the number of deals they close. So they want to be involved in every deal. At Sitecore, most of our business is self-serve. So the sales team is actually saying, hey, so long as someone's able and willing to self-serve, let's let them self-serve. And let's let them opt into speaking to sales, even if they want a big deal. Our product team said, hey, how about everybody that wants 10 seats or above has to speak to a salesperson? And the sales team said, well, that doesn't make any sense. If they don't need to speak to a salesperson, why would we speak to them? And I think that's exactly the type of attitude and kind of culture that I was hoping to create in the sales team, in that let's not put the sales team there just for the sake of, you know, being able to claim that that revenue is coming from sales, but rather let's put the sales team in places where we're actually adding value.
Most companies, instead of looking inward, look at outward and understand how competition functions. Here, David shares to us about how Typeform approaches competition.
To be honest, we don't really focus too much on our competitors.
We're focused obviously on our customers. I also never, as a rule, I just try not to say anything negative about competitors. I think that they do what they do really well. We're looking at different things. At Typeform, we look at ourselves more as a system of engagement. We're investing in creating a better experience and better interactions with Typeform, whereas SurveyMonkey is maybe more a system of record, and they're focused maybe more on creating a better analytics side and how to use your data rather than creating a good experience for your respondents. So again, we're more inward focused. So I wouldn't say that we respond to the way our competitors are doing customer success at Typeform. We rather are just focused on doing the best job we can do.
Every person in every customer-facing role is dealt with a difficult customer. This part is particularly interesting as David gives us a breakdown of his email responses to an unhappy customer.
The first few years in customer success, I wanted to spare my team dealing with the kind of difficult customers, as you call them, or people that are basically just angry and sometimes using curse words. And that doesn't really bother me because I don't really look at it as a bad customer, and I'd rather think of it as like a bad circumstance. So this customer has a bad situation and they're frustrated, and maybe they're frustrated about something else in their life and they're just letting it out on someone in my team or on me. I always follow the same approach, which is I start my email by saying, first of all, this was escalated to me because that usually helps calm people down. They know that that they're speaking to someone who's quote unquote, you know, more senior or more important. And I start by saying, I completely understand where you're coming from. And I basically paraphrase the problem that they have in my own words so that they know that I actually understand why they're pissed off and what their problem is. And that usually diffuses the anger, because often the anger comes from people feeling misunderstood. And then I'll go on, and maybe oftentimes I actually just repeat what the member of our support team said using slightly different words and say, I'm sorry that there's nothing else we can do for you, but you're a valued customer, and I'll try to do something else that's nice for them. That's generally the way I approach those types of situations.
He also shares a real-life example of dealing with a customer, more like an unhappy social-savvy customer.
There was one situation where, I don't want to name the company, but they're a very big international food chain. And they were going to launch a project with Typeform where they were going to collect feedback from the employees of their restaurants all around, in this case, it was South Africa, but all around a country. And they tested it, and then it turns out that the tablets that they wanted to use the Typeform on, they hadn't tested on those specific tablets, and the Typeform didn't support the type of browser that those tablets were using. And it got to the point where the customer tweeted first the name of the support agent that was helping them, and then, you know, this is unacceptable, and then they tweeted my name. And finally, I managed to speak with the person running the project from the restaurant chain. And I scheduled calls every 2 hours with them so I could give them periodic updates of how we were trying to help them work it out. In the end, we found a solution that wasn't really ideal for either sides. We figured out a fallback solution. But just the fact that, first of all, I had direct contact, calmed the person down. Also, those periodic calls so that I could give them an update, and I would call them. I'd actually try to call them 5 minutes before I was supposed to call them so that they could see that I was being extra proactive. And that really helped them feel like someone on our side cared and was doing their best to help.
What I'm taking away from the above example is a lesson on proactivity. That's like the buzzword in customer service today. David breaks this up with an interesting analogy and talks about SURF, the customer communication manifesto at Typeform.
Stage of being proactive was after going through the phases of being more kind of reactive. So I think proactive is just maybe the next level of maturity of a customer success organization as they progress. The analogy I like to use is a fire. At the beginning you're putting out fires, and that's like pure support. And at the beginning is really firefighting. Then you kind of manage to figure that out, and you start being able to detect fires. And then the next step is the fire prevention, which is the more proactive side. And basically that entails trying to help a customer before they even know they need help. So an example that we have is, for example, someone creates a type form, and each type form has a title. And what we do is, if you're creating a type form and the title is NPS, then we would automatically send you an email with best practices about NPS type forms. Or if you create a type form with the title quiz, then we'll be proactive in sharing best practice. So it's before you even ask, hey, how do I integrate my NPS into another system? Or how do I, make this more engaging for my respondents? The way to be proactive entails being a little bit more personal. Because if you're proactive in a generic way, it's not meaningful and it will be less impactful. So in order to be proactive, and I think to help your customers succeed, it's really important to personalize your engagement with them. And the way to do that is to segment customers. So to use data to segment customers in the way that's most meaningful to them. And what we do is we've created a customer lifecycle where we have like the different stages of the customer journey. We have certain milestones that we want our customers to achieve throughout the journey. And then we've created for these different milestones, touch points where we're proactively engaging with customers based on either their behavior or a certain schedule. So like the schedule would be, if it's 20 days after they upgraded, we're going to send them an NPS automatically. Whereas a behavior one would be, we see that they've been collecting results over a certain period of time. All of a sudden they stop collecting results. That means that they're probably done with their project. And then we'll proactively reach out to them and recommend other use cases for their next project using Typeform. So all of those things only work if they're segmented, because as soon as they become generic, they become meaningless for the customer. Another thing that we use that I really like is this concept called SURF. Stands for simple, useful, remarkable, and friendly. And that's the way we decide if we're going to send a communication. So all of our communications need to be SURF in order for us to use them. If they're not hitting the mark on all four of those, then it's not a communication that we should be sending out.
Let's SURF it. David moved to San Francisco from Barcelona to scale the Typeform in the US market. Coming up next is his take on football versus American football, metaphorically, of course.
Coming from Barcelona, the most shocking thing is cost. The cost of everything, from the cost of your office space, the cost of like people's salaries, and the cost of like the coffee down the street. It's everything is 2x at least what it is in Barcelona. And the rents are like 3 or 4x. That's pretty shocking when you come here and you're starting to like figure out what the budget should be and everything. That's something that I was somewhat prepared for, but still unprepared for. Another thing that's interesting, culturally, you asked about the difference in the hiring process. In Europe, my experience, at least in Barcelona, is that people tend to be a lot more humble with their own experience. So they're more likely to say, yeah, I'm good at this. I'm not as good at that. I like doing this. I don't like doing that. Whereas in the States, people are more taught to not show weakness and to only show strength. So if you interview anybody, you're going to think that everybody's done everything. And, each person was the critical person to their company's success. So And I've heard this advice from other Europeans that came here. People will make mistakes in hiring because you're just not used to hiring and asking questions that'll kind of pick those things apart. And fortunately, I haven't made any mistakes yet, or at least not that I think I've made. But that was something that I was warned and that I noticed also as part of the interview processes. And the last thing I would say is that I actually love here is the energy. In Barcelona, Typeform is a big fish in a small pond. We're the startup that a lot of people look up to and say, oh, this is what success looks like. And maybe we're a little bit too comfortable and feeling, you know, we've grown very quickly and we feel like we're doing really well. In San Francisco, we're just a small fish in a big pond. There's a lot of other companies that have been more successful than us, that have grown faster than us, and that are copying us. And it just, there's a buzz and a sense of urgency here of things happening quickly, and you better react quickly or you'll die, which doesn't really exist as much, at least in Barcelona. I'm not that familiar with other European places, but for sure that's something that that's different here from what I was used to in Barcelona.
Hiring the right talent is a crucial part of building and scaling any team. Empathy is by default needed, yes, but what else? If you're a candidate or a recruiter, what's coming up next has got you covered.
Pure customer facing, I'm sorry that I'm going to break that rule, but I would still say empathy. And basically people who are just passionate about helping people. But if you're talking about customer success leader, then I would say different skills, such as analytical skills, operational excellence, and operational management skills. Because the great customer-facing skills are not so scalable. And in order to build a customer success organization, I think it's important to have somebody or several people that can set up the operations in a scalable way based on data and with the right tools and everything else. For me, the first question would have to be around culture. I think that part of the reason why our customer success team does a really good job at Typeform is because we work well together and we have a nice team culture. So my first question might be something like, if you were starting your own business and you created three values to run your business or for your employees to follow, what would those three values be to get a feel for what's important to them? I also always like to ask why this person is interviewing for this job and see how they answer that. So is it more because of Typeform? Is it more because of the role? What's their plan? And I like to try to test humility. So I would also probably ask for them to tell me about a situation where they made a big mistake and they had to admit to it, and what, you know, tell me the story of what mistake they made and how they handled the situation afterwards.
We now have what we call the rapid fire round. David, if you have to name one customer success leader you look up to, who would that be?
Dan Steinman is, I look up to him because of his experience and also how effective he is at communicating everything about customer success. I think he's able to take concepts and simplify them in a way that I don't think I'm as good at. And I think if I had to say one person, I would say Dan Steinman.
And what are your favorite books?
One I like the most, that has helped me the most at work, is a book called High Output Management by Andy Groves. It's an old management book that still remains so useful and powerful today. It's really helped me learn how to manage a larger team. My team, almost 40 people, and I never managed a team that big before joining Typeform, so those principles really helped. And right now I'm reading a Harvard Business Review book that's like a compilation of 10 different Harvard Business Review articles about managing myself. It's called Manage Yourself. So those would be my top two at the moment. Before, I really liked the spin selling book when I was more in my sales days. That really inspired me as well.
I think this would make a really nice closing note. At Fresh Chat, when a new member joins our team, we ask them one thing that's weird about them. So David, what's weird about you?
With my best friends from childhood when we were small, actually, that's not true. It's been going on forever. We write poems to each other, but they're not love poems. They're poems making fun of each other and each other's families and girlfriends. Everything's okay to make fun of. In fact, for one of my friend's birthdays, I actually printed like 100 pages worth of poems that we had written out and bounded the thing and gave it to him for his birthday.
That was David Apple, General Manager of US and VP of Customer Success at Typeform. What are your takeaways on customer success from this episode? Tweet to us at @FreshChatApp. Thank you for listening to Mind the Gap. Subscribe to our podcast at freshchat.com/mindthegap. You can check out our upcoming episodes and ask questions to our guest by sending an audio message there. If you enjoyed today's episode, share it with the world. See you guys soon.